Sports Radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. We thank the great Chance Collins for his technical expertise this afternoon as we welcome you in for another stellar edition. I'm Russell Smith, got Baron Brandon with me here this afternoon. Hump day. Beautiful Wednesday here in East Tennessee, getting cold outside. Are we on Periscope? Is that going? I've got people tweeting me. All right,
we should be.
All right, we're live on Periscope. A couple of faces made for radio.
They call us
Beauty and the Beast. But if anybody ever calls you Beast Bear, I will be there to smack them down and smite them.
Hey, you know what this means, Brandon?
Well, we made it a minute in for boy, the first so, insult
old,
of the day.
Old boy's still sore about yesterday. But that first segment yesterday when I burned his house down right in front of him.
Burned my house down.
I did. Going to come in low blow.
Burned my house down. My house is just fine.
You know, just speaking of pettiness.
Okay. All right.
I don't see. I've been trying to contain myself for 10 minutes now.
This is it.
What is Penny flapping his gums about now, Russ?
Well, I'm glad that you segued into the lead story of the day.
Is he trying to start something?
Had a great night last night, man. Watched the Vols just absolutely annihilate Arkansas.
I watched every second
Me
of that
too.
Game.
I watched the first episode of the new True Detective season, which was very intriguing.
I haven't gotten to see that yet. That's on the agenda for tonight.
Had a lovely evening.
Right.
Good night's sleep. Got up, got my morning coffee, sit down.
Checked in on Twitter a couple times. It was fairly positive
on
there.
Yeah, like everything's off to a good start. Take the little man to school.
Tennessee
and everything.
Fans seem to have, you know, had a collective sigh.
I come back and get started on show prep for the day. And what do I see but
the mouth of Memphis?
Penny Hardaway, the mouth of the South. Oh, 1 cent. Petty Penny. Calling for the wambulance as Penny Hardaway this morning. And I don't know what show is this. Was this Woke Center or First Woke or Frozen Wokeness? Like what ESPN show that nobody watches was this on? Nobody knows.
I don't watch any of those shows. Like ESPN. I have no idea when y'all are talking. Like honest to God, like when you all start saying Woke Center. And, like, all that stuff, I have no clue.
I just know
what you guys are talking
that Jalen
about.
Rose
Jalen
was
Rose
the host.
Is there. Nobody knows, what like, the shows anymore. It's
what,
just
what's,
ESPN.
What's Jalen's beef?
It's just ESPN. They're just, like, rolling for the show doesn't matter. The host doesn't matter. It's just the same crap. They're just, like, shoveling it into your mouth. Like, oh, here's our NBA basketball.
I mean, they're like, state-run for Krzyzewski.
So anyway, they got Penny Hardaway on there, and we'll play you the audio. Do we have it, Brandon?
Yep.
Let's hear Penny Hardaway this morning.
I haven't heard
on
this yet.
ESPN.
But Rick Barnes is feeling some type of way about your arrival. What's going on with him in that relationship?
I've always had a lot of respect for Coach Rick Barnes. We had a situation here in Memphis with a rivalry game. You know it's going to be heated. You've had those rivalry games against Michigan State before, I'm sure. So you know that when you get into that game, it's going to be hot tempers and, you know, a lot of competitiveness. And after the game, I didn't feel like he gave my team a fair understanding of what we were trying to do. You know, he was kind of mocking the NBA and our coaching staff, and I really didn't like that. I have the utmost respect for him, but I couldn't let him do my team like that.
What the hell is he talking about?
What planet is he living on?
First of all,
what does that even mean?
First of all, how do you say that you respect somebody whenever all this first went down, his press conference that very next Monday, he said, Rick Barnes, get the bleep out of here.
Yeah, well, it's always just, I respect Rick Barnes, followed by a bunch of made-up trash talk about Rick Barnes.
Well, like what's funny about it is,
if you respect him,
let's
he wouldn't
just,
be making
right
stuff
to the
up about
core
the
of it. And what the real problem is. I mean, let's get to the real problem. Penny just needs to admit it. Coach Barnes took Grant, Admiral, Jordan, Kyle, all his boys down to Memphis, and he stomped a mud hole in their ass, and then he walked it dry in their gym, and he got humiliated on national TV. He got emasculated.
Rick Barnes walked into his kitchen, made a sandwich, threw the cheese wrapper down on the ground, disrespected his house, and walked out the door. Yeah, it'd be pretty hot too. And he's got to know that he has to come back to Knoxville next year, and it's only going to be worse. We're only going to whip that fanny one more time on national television, and he's going to have to walk over there and shake Rick Barnes' hand while Rick Barnes says, God bless you. God bless you, Penny. Best of luck this season.
You don't think the Tommy Bowl is going to be rocking
that 40 next year? 40-point beatdown didn't mean nothing. It's nothing personal. It's just business. See you, Penny.
I mean, we didn't even beat them that bad. It's not like we beat them down like we have been everybody else.
If we played them like right now at the level they're playing.
I mean, Tom Crean and Mike Anderson and Mike White, they've all just took their whipping and went on.
Konzo Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, he kicked Konzo's door open, walked in, slapped him across the damn face, and walked out.
At this point, I think Penny's just he's immature, first of all. And he's just, you know, making stuff up to get his name in the headlines. I think that, like, if you asked him, well, what did you mean by Rick Barnes mocking the NBA, he probably wouldn't have a satisfactory answer because he's on ESPN, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. He thinks he's promoting his program. But at the end of the day, the kind of kids that you want to get to win championships, the kind of kids that Rick Barnes is recruiting, the kind of kids that the Barnes bashers told us had no value for the first 2 years and we aren't going to win with these kids and blah, blah, blah. Like, those guys are going to see right through his act. They're not going to go there. And he might be able to rent James Wiseman for 1 year. He might be able to hot sauce his way to a couple of recruits. But the kind of players that are ensnared by that kind of false narrative message, those aren't the kind of players you're going to win with. This dude's going to be out of coaching within 3 or 4 years, man. He's not built for this. He's too immature.
No, I mean, do you think this was the first thing where I really think, yeah, this guy's not going to make it. You can't operate like that. Because, I mean, really, no. I mean, the other part of it, I mean, it's not true.
And it's
not true. You got
it.
You're a liar.
One thing if it's Bruce Pearl and John Calipari, and they're both kind of hucksters, and they're both in on the joke, and they're just like that's the thing, but. It's, you know, if he wanted to throw that kind of shade at Josh Pastner or I don't even know, like, who else would be okay for those kind of – you can't do that to Rick Barnes, man. You can't do that to the kindly old grandpa of college basketball. Like, coaching fraternity is – it's tight. And Rick Barnes is universally respected. And you're going to paint yourself into a corner doing that, but – I mean, heck, he's not asking for my advice, and I probably wouldn't give it to him even if he did because he's at Memphis. He's at Tiger High, and they're struggling right now, and they will continue to struggle. And, you know, he's like a louder-mouthed version of Holly Warlick is what he is. He's just in over his head down there and doesn't know which way to turn. And it's probably
– How far over his head do you think he is? Completely underwater with that job. Because if you got the right coach in there, I mean, I think you could.
Well, he's going to have – they have James Wiseman next year. They'll be able to rent him for a year. And that in and of itself is probably worth 20 wins. And maybe they get to the tournament, but he is not mentally equipped to do battle with the elite coaches in this – you know, when it matters. He's just doesn't have it.
I mean, how old is Penny? I mean, like, Barnes took probably his first head coaching job when Penny was in junior high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can't believe he's taking this tack. I don't know. It's in our best interest, what Memphis fans don't understand. It would be better for us if they got back to being good again. That's what made those games so legendary.
Penny is 47, by the way.
I just don't care, man. This is a if a tree falls in the woods type scenario. We're talking about being the number one team in the country, and they're playing glorified AAU ball. That's John Calipari light.
You think he's trying to feud up at Coach Barnes in Tennessee to try and keep his name in the news?
He's trying to bask in our reflected glory, which is kind of pathetic. It's kind of sad when you think about it, but it's like, whatever, dude. We beat you this year. We're going to beat you next year. We're making our Final Four run, and if you have to try and siphon off some of our attention to make yourself feel relevant, then you do what you got to do. We're getting ready for Bama Saturday. Like, I would be surprised if Rick Barnes even knows about this yet. He'll know about it eventually because somebody will tell him, but he's been in the gym.
Think it'll make his eye twitch a little bit?
No.
Not the full-on, looking the other way from the other
one. I
think
it'll give him a nice chuckle.
But, I mean, do you think it'll –
chuckle is good, yeah.
It'll just tick once. Like, all right.
No, he's in the gym right now working on Fulkerson's hands. He's working on – helping.
How much do you think they're in the gym working out, those guys?
Tennessee's player, they live in there. I mean, it's just it's not relevant to Rick Barnes, which, you know, if he could pull him aside, if Barnes could pull Penny aside as a wise old coach trying to impart some wisdom to a young coach who's just cutting his teeth, it would be, hey, why don't you spend a little bit less time making stuff up about whoever you're making stuff up about on national television and a little more time in the gym developing your players. Seems to have worked for me. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Got your Rocky Top report coming up. Oh, what a massacre. The massacre in Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Arkansas gets blown away. Last night, our Brandon Orrick was there covering it for The Drive. We'll have a complete breakdown coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fresh off the bludgeoning of Arkansas, 106-87 ends up being your final in it. Really, it was worse than that. Tennessee returns to the practice floor to get ready for Alabama this weekend. 2 o'clock tip Saturday afternoon inside Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Alabama's at Mizzou tonight if you want to scout the next opponent. They'll be taking on Konzo and company.
I would rather watch paint dry on the floor of my garage than to watch Alabama versus Missouri.
An Alabama team that's lost 2 in a row now against Texas A&M and LSU after opening the season with a win at home over Kentucky. So we'll see what kind of – it's a hard team to get a read on. They've got – one thing that kind of jumped out to me is – and we knew that losing Colin Sexton was going to be difficult for them to overcome. Kyra Lewis, who was a 4-star point guard who Tennessee recruited a little bit – well, maybe more than a little bit. We recruited him. He's their leading scorer, so I'm sure he's a nice player and everything, but I would imagine that Jordan Bowen will, if he's locked in, eat his lunch. Dante Hall is still there. Seems like he's been there forever. He's a nice player, and John Petty's a nice player. But, again, I feel like this is a pretty good matchup for Tennessee. You got to feel very confident if you are a Volunteer fan. And the thing that stands out to me – looking back on last night is you go out there and you're just hammering these clowns and clowning them, and it's a feel-good moment. But what happens at the end, Brandon? You were there. Did you stay for the whole thing, or did you go beat traffic? You went and beat traffic, didn't you?
Okay. I did.
So you missed. Arkansas goes on a little run the last 10 minutes. We were very sloppy. That Rick Barnes, you know, we thought we were going to get to see the walk-ons in there. That didn't really happen. And –
Brock Jansen got in right there at the end, missed a layup. Come on, Brock.
You have a situation where because Arkansas goes on a run and makes the score look kind of semi-respectable, Rick Barnes, very upset after the game, told his team, if you're not upset too, then there's something wrong with you. So, you win a game by 19 points and the coach isn't happy, the players aren't here happy, that gives Tennessee the incentive to get really fired up and focused for this Alabama game and come out juiced up on Saturday. There shouldn't be any letdown. So I expect another epic bludgeoning this weekend on what should be a special day at Thompson Bowling with another sold-out crowd on hand, an overmatched Alabama team in town, and one Nigel Tamoris Martin in the house. They didn't trot him out there, did they, Brandon?
No, they did not.
So that we still have that moment. They're going to do that Saturday, right?
Josh, yeah, I think so. Josh Dobbs was in the house last night.
That's cool. They got to do that. LSU won at Ole Miss.
Has he unblocked you yet?
Who?
Dobbs.
I don't think I'm blocked by him.
I thought you were blocked.
I'm blocked by,
him. Oh. No.
Why would I be blocked by Dobbs? I don't know why I'm blocked by T.
Apparently, Dobbs is a well-known blocker.
Yeah, but I mean, I've never tweeted at him. I don't think I've ever tweeted at T, which is, anyway, not to get involved with that. Did you guys see LSU take down Ole Miss last night?
Heard about it.
I saw the score. Didn't watch much of it.
LSU's a good team, man.
Yeah, and we have to go down there. We have to go to LSU. So
they came away down there.
I'm almost positive we go.
Sure, that's in Baton Rouge.
We go down
there.
When
is that?
It's late. I saw Grant Ramey tweeted out the remaining schedule. It's like the next seven games. You're playing like Vanderbilt a couple times. Most of those teams unranked. Your last eight: Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky. It's a tough.
Toughens up towards the
very
end.
Tough.
I got two words for you, Russ.
What's that?
Road trip.
I'm not driving to Baton Rouge. So
Saturday, February 23rd.
Play. You know how long a road trip that is?
It's about brief. 8 hours.
About 12 if you drive with a lead foot.
Really?
It's a long trip.
We fly down there.
I like this team. I don't know if I'm flying to watch them play.
You'd fly somewhere in the tournament.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Lady Vols in action as they take on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. All right, Bear. Tennessee Lady Vols 12-4, 1-3 in SEC play.
We're gonna walk the dog. Three on game losing skid.
Alabama is 9-8. They're 1-3 in the league play too. That's not a good Alabama.
They're
team.
A solid team, and I feel like Holly and the girls are gonna go down there and take care. They're gonna
okay.
Be, TCB is her
okay.
New mantra.
Okay.
Taking care of business, Russ.
If they lose their fourth game in a row, which I don't know if that's ever happened in Lady Vol basketball history, are you prepared to at least consider the possibility that this thing is going south in a hurry?
Yeah, but whether or not you get me to agree to
okay. No, to just consider the possibility. Just want a crack in the armor here.
There's a crack in the armor, Russ.
Just pull that head out of the sand and take a quick look around. You can put it back in if you want, but just to pull it out for a second and take a look around.
You're going to have to get a hydraulic press to move me off of my position on buyouts.
You are the leader of the Ostrich Brigade.
It's more like the, financial brigade.
Oh, yes. It's fiscally responsible Bear. I forgot.
No, it just makes no sense. Uh-huh. It makes no sense at all.
All right, I'll tell you what makes sense. Calling Bo Kregner at the Kregner Group for a free consultation, having him over to your place to figure out what you have to do to get your home ready to go to market this year. It's free. It doesn't cost a dime. Bo's expertise in these parts is legendary. Call Bo Kregner at the Kregner Group today, 865-742-1035, or just visit his website, BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com. Then you find your new place. You're going to need a mortgage. Chris Burleson is the mortgage pro. He did the mortgage on the new Stately Smith Manor. Took great care of me and my family. He'll take great care of you and yours as well. He does free consultations too. BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. That's BURLESON MortgageTeam.com. Or call him at 865-388-7634. He's the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson, bringing you the Rocky Top Report on your Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Brandon, can you take us into the transfer portal real quickly here? Oh, yeah. As we have
Russell.
Some breaking news. this afternoon on the show.
Somebody in the portal?
Well, not exactly.
Was he in the portal
hold on,
earlier?
Hold on. I'm
trying to readjust. We haven't been here in a couple days.
Trying to get my bearings here in the transfer portal.
I've gotten to the point where I like it.
Flashback here. Walls starting to melt. Jalen Hurts has emerged from the transfer portal. He falls out today in Oklahoma. Falls out of the portal, lands at OU. So the dream dies for Tennessee. Man, that was a great football fantasy, wasn't it? Jalen Hurts running around in that beautiful orange jersey next year.
Yeah. I think he made a great decision, though.
Sure. I guess so. Jalen, what could have been? What could have been, Jalen Hurts? All this could have been ours. It could have been you getting your brains beat out behind our young and inexperienced offensive line next year, Jalen Hurts. But you want to go and compete for a national championship, whatever. Also, while we're here, get some more transfer portal news. Why can't I say transfer portal all of a sudden? Florida State defensive end Xavier Peters, who entered the portal last week, has decided to stay. Running back Amir Razul is still in the portal. He's listening to other programs. And quarterback James Blackman, evidently, is entering the portal today. So there's a quarterback. Also, former five-star wide receiver George Campbell is in the portal. What is going on at Florida State? They've got five guys in the portal.
Pandemonium.
And tight end Nazir Upshur. There's a five-star wide receiver. I guess he would have to sit out.
Hey, since we're in the portal, it made me think of something.
Yeah.
Would it be a bad thing if we didn't pick up anybody from the portal?
Not necessarily. I mean it depends on who, right?
I don't know if we convinced ourselves or, you know, as fans, we think that Jim Chaney's an elite offensive coordinator. I mean, the real question is there going to be on campus at the beginning of, you know, like July and August, is there going to be – do we have a quarterback on campus?
Do you see what happened here, Brandon? Are you watching carefully? Did you see what Bear just did? After realizing just seconds ago that the Jalen Hurts dream is over, he has already pivoted. And granted, we're in the early stages here, but Bear has begun the long and laborious process of convincing himself that Jarrett Garantano can improve greatly under the tutelage of one Jim Chaney and get that barometer up towards 9 or 10 wins before the season kicks off.
No, that's definitely not it. No. No. I just think the odds with Jim Chaney that one of those – okay, so let's see, we got Garantano, Shrout, and the Maior kid coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean – out of those three, I'm figuring Jim Chaney can do something with one of the three there. That's why we're paying him $1.2 million a year.
It's starting. It's only January. There's a long time for
Bear
to –
It's okay, Bear. It's okay.
For the wheels to – I'm right there with you, man.
What else are we going to do?
I've got visions of the great Jim Chaney unlocking the heretofore unseen and untapped potential of the former five-star Jarrett Garantano from Lodi, New Jersey.
I mean, it's not just Garantano. Go watch a video of Maior.
Listen, man.
Or the Maior. How do you say it? Maior or Maior? Or Maior?
It's not going to be Maior. We could sit here and...
You think it might be the Harrison Bailey kid a year after that?
No, it's Garantano next year, dude. And probably the year after that. I know fans don't want to hear that. I know we want to think that there's some magic pixie dust scenario waiting in the wings. You know it deep in your soul, just like I do.
Yeah, and I've watched it long enough. There's other quarterbacks that we've had in the past that he's exactly like. I mean, it's a certain level of quarterback.
Yeah.
Steve Alatorre and Jeff Ochsner.
Jonathan Crompton.
I mean, there's just a certain – and then there's some years where we have quarterbacks like Jimmy Streeter, Peyton Manning, T. Martin.
Brandon, you're right there with us, right? Yeah, we wanted Jalen Hurts. We're hoping that, you know, some kid we've never heard of from Eastern Washington or something like transfers in here as a grad transfer. But deep in your soul, somewhere in your psyche, your bruised Vol fan psyche, you know that when Georgia State rolls in here in early September next year, it's going to be Garantano. They trot him out there to take those first reps. You know that, right? You know that.
Yeah, I mean, unless something terrible happens and he gets hurt during the preseason and something
graduate.
Like that.
He does graduate.
I'm telling you right now, if you put like 1989 Andy Kelly on this team, around in there,
Andy Kelly.
He probably wins 10 games next year with this team.
Straight out of Ray County.
Threw a beautiful deep ball. I mean, he could hurl it to Pickens. He basically just threw it as hard as he could, and then Pickens would run under it.
Had those old bike hip pads sticking out of his britches.
That's before you were born. Rainbow passes.
Tossing that little flip screen to A-Run Hayden, mm-hmm. The miracle at South Bend. He found Corey Fleming in the quarter of the end zone.
He was the first of, wouldn't you call him probably the first of that line of, like it progressively went from him to like.
That's one way of looking at it. Or he was the last of the line of pretty average quarterbacks before all of a sudden we had Shuler, Manning, T. Martin. It kind of took off.
Dude, he wasn't far off having enough talent around and winning Natty.
He played
on a couple,
for
he played
a long
on
time
really good
in the
teams.
Arena Football League.
I'm not even talking about that.
All right, get us out of the stinking portal, Brandon. I'm going crazy over here.
Tripping out, talking about Andy Kelly.
Yeah. The portal takes you to weird places. You never know.
You make weird associations.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to end up talking about Corey Fleming in the portal today, but here we are.
That's where we got out.
Let's take a quick break. The drive continues. We'll open up the phone lines here. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the show, back with more on Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in. I woke up this morning with the sun down.
And it's really weird that he would play this because...
Is this on the soundtrack?
The first episode of the new True Detective season ends with like a slow bluesy version of this song.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that's something I have noticed about those shows. Like, if you want to find some really cool music, like whoever puts like Ray Donovan and all these top level like HBO Showtime shows on, the music's really cool.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell, Barron, Brandon cruising along with you here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Coming up Friday, we'll be out at Corner 16. Want you to come out and see us there. Tennessee, Bama. We've got Ice Bears tickets to give away. We've got Valor Fight tickets to give away. We'll be giving away a $25 copper card, and we're going to have a great time Friday at Corner 16. They're at the corner of Bob Kirby Road and Middlebrook Pike, right across from the big food city out there. I've been thinking about the meatloaf all week long. I'm going meatloaf.
Get meatloaf, the
meatloaf and gravy with the smokehouse potatoes at Corner 16. Oh my goodness!
You gonna have a chocolate malted again, Brandon?
I don't know.
Try the egg cream.
You need to get one of those phosphates. Is what you need to get.
I tried Esteban's last time.
Oh, so good, so sugary.
They were good. It was very, very sugary.
I love it.
Oh, that was what you drank when you started acting like Beavis. Got you all cracked out on that stuff.
Nah.
All that sugar. You loved it.
I'll have a couple of cold Smoky Mountain Brewery.
What's your favorite
beverages?
Out of those?
Oh, I'm a big Helles guy.
Cherokee Red Ale.
That's what I thought.
Love the Helles. So come out and hoist one with us Friday at Corner 16. Check them out online at corner16.com.
I feel like we're hosting a cocktail hour. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a cocktail hour?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
I can't remember.
What exactly is
must have been a great
cocktail
time.
Hour?
It's like everybody just kind of shows up and has a couple of drinks on Friday night.
At a restaurant?
Yeah, a restaurant or a tavern or a bar.
I thought it was like something you did in your parlor or your smoking room. Oh, come on over for cocktail hour. I'll be mixing drinks.
No.
What, would you like a Manhattan? Perhaps a martini?
Wrong with you?
Cocktail hour. That's just like what I...
Cocktail hour. Hour after work.
Happy hour. Like, I'm familiar with that.
No, it's cocktail hour. No, have some cocktails.
What's the difference?
I don't know. It's just one colloquial. I don't know. I mean, is it colloquialism?
I don't think anybody says cocktail hour. I think that went out with the Eisenhower administration.
All right.
I think you're turning the clock back there, buddy. By the way.
Well, you can go to hell. And
whoa.
You want to come at me like this? That's two out of four segments here in the first hour.
Whoa.
Big boy. What y'all was saying was everybody come out. We'll have a good time at Corner 16 on Friday when nobody's got to work.
Okay. We'll
talk smack about the Alabama game. But, hey, Russ, no.
We'll call it cocktail
hour.
No.
Yeah, not now. Not now.
Cocktail hour.
Come out
hour
and talk to Russ after the drive on Friday night.
Wait, just me? Are you leaving?
I don't know.
It's Friday night. We're going to hang out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to congregate. Because that's what people do during cocktail hour.
You got me
hour.
Pissed off now.
I always put like cocktail hour, like we're wearing jackets and kind of like you have a special glass, right? You kind of hold it, maybe wearing your slippers, maybe just full on pajamas, Hugh Hefner style, and cocktail hour.
Yeah, I'm not down with that, Russ.
See, I was thinking you're dressed more fancy. See, I'm envisioning like something
shirt and
like
tie,
20s cocktail hour.
Yeah,
no,
so
I'm,
we're
I'm
like at a speakeasy.
Like
yeah,
sitting on a porch, you could be barefooted wearing blue jeans and t-shirts, kind of a deal.
What?
Yeah.
For a cocktail hour?
Sure.
Barefoot in blue jeans?
Why not? On a porch somewhere,
because
just drinking.
Because cocktail hour is classy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
it's whatever
is.
Whatever you want it to be.
Remind me, note to self, never attend Bears cocktail hour.
Well, note to self, know that Russell's never going to have any fun. Invited.
Let's get Roger in here. Roger, you're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, hey guys, how y'all doing?
Fantastic.
Cool. I love Corner 16. When I started this past Saturday night, when this game I started, it's nice for us from Bears. It's really nice. I love that feeling. I started seeing everybody. It's really packed. It's not a place. It's really sit there, relax. You know, it's a great place to watch any kind of. And you got a game, you know? It's
yeah.
Nice. It's all fire, you know?
I heard you like it, Raj.
Nice. Lot.
That's
great
what
the word
spot,
on the street is.
Great food, great
yeah,
beverages,
great
TV viewing experience,
yeah.
A great patio, maybe the
yeah.
Best patio spot in West Knox. Come on out there and hang out with us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see what I can do, but I just wanted to ask you about Jim Taney, about Tano. I just want to ask you is I hope he can develop Tano him to a good quarterback. I just want to ask you is about that is what can Jim Taney do? I know he done it in the past. He turned every player into a good player. I just want to ask you what can Jim Taney do to turn Tano into a good player? You think what can he do to turn into a good player?
How about Garantano?
Quarterback.
That's a good question. Hey, this is why we're making this dude paid the highest paid offensive coordinator in college football. Right? Is can you fix Jarrett Garantano? I mean, if he can do whatever Kiffin and David Reeves did with Crompton in 2009 to Garantano in 2019, and how ironic would that be 10 years later, another reclamation project? He's worth every penny that you've paid because there's a lot of knocks on Garantano right now. A lot of people, and I'll freely admit to being one that's very skeptical of, you know, whether or not he can ever be a quality player here.
Oh yeah, sure, you're right. So I'll be curious. Hope he can do. Hopefully, I hope he can do it, and then I hope he can do. I like the guy, so hope he can do it. You know, and Bears want to ask you, Bear, about Bear. What can Jim Haney do? What can he do for the game? to learn what can he do to turn him into a good quarterback? You think?
I mean, it's just a matter of the way he develops quarterbacks, Roger. I imagine he has a very specific. I mean, whether it be drills, classroom, film study. I don't know what it is he does behind closed doors over there, but he has a track record of developing really, really good quarterbacks. And his offense score a lot of points. I guess the proof's in the pudding, Russ.
Yeah, I think that, Garantano, is that a fair comparison to him and, Crompton? People forget, what you talk about maligned. Like, whatever criticism Jarrett Garantano came under this past season is nothing compared to what Crompton was hit with in 2008. No. He's probably the most criticized quarterback in Tennessee football history.
We are honest to God. I think we go easier on Garantano probably because a lot of us should still to this day feel ashamed of ourselves, of how badly we talked about Jonathan Crompton, how much crap got thrown off on him.
And I guess part of that was we won the East in 07 and we're expecting the ship to keep rolling in 08. And it was, if it wasn't the worst offense in Tennessee history, it's one of the worst two or three. And
it wasn't fair. It wasn't a fair comparison.
No, and that was borne out by a year later.
You had David Cutcliffe with Eric Ainge, who was, a gunslinging quarterback.
And a year later, you have a similar start. He had a terrible game against UCLA at home in 2009, and the story goes Kiffin basically told David Reeves, who was his brother-in-law, I'm taking over the quarterback coaching and the week of the Georgia game. And I mean, people had just written Crompton off. He's never going to amount to anything. He's a bust, whatever. And he threw for over 300 yards and four or five touchdowns against Georgia, was SEC Player of the Week, and went on to have a really good season to the point that he was drafted, I believe, by the Chargers and may have had a cup of coffee in the NFL and went up and played in Canada for a long time.
Is he still playing up there?
I don't think so. But the point is it's been done before. And I don't know that we had – the program was in a different spot back then. We were – 2009 was 2 years removed from an SEC Eastern Division championship. We're, 11 years removed from that now, and we've won 9 games in 2 seasons. So it's – Garantano doesn't have as much to work with as Crompton did back then.
I wonder if they'd ever bring him back. He's another one of those guys who seems kind of not divorced from the program. But
what do you mean bring him back?
Like bring him back, get him back in town sometime.
I think he's been back before. I don't know that he's been officially honored by the university, but I know he was – I saw a couple of websites interview him last week when Chaney came back, and he was – because Chaney was on that 09 staff as well. He wasn't coaching quarterbacks, but he was there.
Yeah. I don't know. That's all. But I honestly, I do think we take it easier on Garantano because we're still – I mean, we – I don't know. I'm saying we, but
– Some of us do. Some of y'all are brutal towards
the
kid.
I mean, he got – Oh, Garantano? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't stand it. It makes me cringe. All right. I don't know.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls coming up.
The drive.
Jared on Twitter says, Bears cocktail hour complete with the finest of spirits. You can also tune in to the FDR Fireside Chats.
I'm glad you clowned. Okay.
I'm picturing like a Great Gatsby type, flappers doing the Charleston in the background.
I'm thinking more like the Hell House at Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Al Jolson playing.
Woodshed it in before they took over music.
I feel like what you're thinking about should be called something other than a cocktail.
No, man, that's what we've always called it.
You're describing a hoot nanny or a shindig.
No. I'm describing Saturday night.
I feel like at what you're envisioning, a few ice cold beers are going to be thrown down. Not cocktails.
Well, no. I mean, there's shots and cold beer, and then the moonshine comes out.
Yeah, those aren't cocktails. Cocktails are like.
Yeah, but that's when you transition from the cocktail hour to the. You know.
All right. Can we go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk this afternoon?
Being blowed away.
According to footballscoop.com, sources say in Maryland that Butch Jones plans to stay at Alabama.
Yes.
It's critical.
It's yes! Instead
it's
of
happening. God, I love it.
Stay at Alabama in what capacity? Is he really just going to stay there as an intern to just get paid by us to fold Nick Saban's laundry or whatever they've got him doing down there?
No, I think he sees an opportunity to move on to the into a sideline coaching position. I'm telling you.
You think he's going to be
that guy envisions
coach.
Himself as with very quickly being the offensive coordinator and then getting another high-powered Power 5 job. I swear to God, that's the chutzpah the guy's got. That's a cojones one Lyle Allen Jones, Russell. He'll walk around with his in a wheelbarrow.
Saban hasn't hired an OC yet.
I'm not saying he's going to give him OC this year.
No.
I'm saying he's sticking around hoping to be the receivers coach this year.
Yeah.
And he's looking at it with his, you know.
And then the next OC leaves for a head coaching
job. And then
job
it'll be, he'll think he'll be in line for it. And then he thinks that's his route back to ever, ever being given the keys to a Ferrari program like he had here at Tennessee.
Or does he just not want to join the sinking ship that is sure to be Maryland under Mike Locksley?
I mean, that's another way of looking at
it. And is just waiting for a better gig to come around.
I don't know. I know that I hate him with the fury of a thousand suns.
Be kind.
I mean, I really do.
Think you need to
let
that
then,
go,
then on the other hand, I can't say that I blame him. We had been mismanaged so badly that we got down to him, which he had to have been 20th on that list.
I got a hot question for you. I was thinking about this over the weekend while I was watching Kamara. Who's the best player from the Butch Jones era at Tennessee? Who's the best player that he recruited? So we're not going to count guys that he might have inherited, although I don't think that's a great list either.
The best player?
Mm-hmm. I've got four, maybe five options here.
I want to see. Let me just jot mine down real quick.
What's the best just overall player college
best, best football player college Butch NFL? Jones recruited to Tennessee? I go Derek Barnett, Alvin Kamara, Josh Dobbs, Cam Sutton.
I only differ with you on one.
You have one on your list that's not on mine?
Yeah.
Malone?
Nope.
Reeves Maben?
Nope.
Hurd?
Yep.
Okay.
Hurd is going to
play
unless he gets hurt.
I just wasn't thinking about him.
Hurd has the potential to be a dominant game-changing level player in the NFL.
Hmm. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Smoking hot question. Who's the best player of the Butch era at UT? We'll get into this and unpack it a little bit more when we continue. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.